Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Man, get them the heck up. What a weekend. What a Monday it's going to be. It's the first day of spring. And we have a lot to do. The weekend jam-packed. Longhorn men on their way to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 15 years. The women can get there tonight at the Moody Center. We will look back and preview that game. Part of a very, very busy, busy weekend. It is a busy day in the ATX throughout Central Texas as South by Southwest wraps up. Spring break is over, but yes, today is the first day of spring. Also looking forward to the week that will include the Sweet 16 on the men's and women's side. Also, the best 64 players in the world in the game of sport of golf will be descending on Austin for the Dell Technologies match play. NASCAR coming to Circuit of the Americas this weekend, and the rodeo continues out of the Expo Center. Safe to say, a lot to do, a lot to converse and discuss with you on this busy Monday morning, first day of spring 2023, and we appreciate you being there. However you find us, hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long, live, local, and digital here on the Horn. You find us on 104.9 on the FM dial, 101.9 FM as well, also at AM 1260. And, of course, hopefully streaming on that Horn app wherever you go. Hope you had a great spring break if you took some time away, took that app with you, listened on your smartphone while you were gone. Now you're back and ready to crank it up with us right here. Also, always streaming on our Horn app on the smart speaker when you get to work today, home or business. And, of course, always streaming live and local on our website, our Twitch channel at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. Thank you very, very much. As we're going to have just a little chill in the air for today, but as time goes on over the next 24 to 48 hours, we will be in the 80s again.
Yeah, it's coming back. And, you know, for spring break and for South By and outdoor activities this weekend, it was cold.
It was cold.
Dishwalk Field was a cold one.
It wasn't
this weekend.
Cool. It was cold.
Yeah, it's the coldest spring equinox in 40 years for Austin, I read.
Spring yeah, I bet equinox. You that spring break down there, but that water was kind of cool, too, from what I hear.
Yeah, well, I mean, the weather, Mother Nature not always kind, but yeah, the coldest spring equinox as we flip from winter to the spring.
You can start your planting this weekend.
4 decades, put your plants in, and
yep.
Longhorn football team will go back to practice this week as well as their spring break is over. Safe to say, we have a lot to do. Obviously, we'll talk plenty of Texas basketball, that thrilling win over Penn State for the Longhorn men on Saturday night. What a performance by Dylan DeSue. What a performance for the Longhorns. Texas women have their chance to be Sweet 16 bound tonight at Moody Center, so we'll preview that. It was a jam-packed weekend, to say the least. That's what we'll try to jam into 4 hours here on B&E. How was your weekend, my friend?
It was fantastic.
Now, I do know that Ty, our producer, was here. I got a text from him late Friday night that, was it Friday or Saturday, T.Y.? My days are kind of cramming together. Ty, I believe you put a money line bet, which means no spread, just picking the winner on Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue.
Yes, I didn't put my usual unit on it. I just threw a flyer out there, but I had a feeling. You know, I had Purdue losing in the second round, and I don't know. It was a weird feeling.
You bet a little, win a lot.
Yeah, I was at Matzel Rancho. It was more of just the fact that
a couple of the margaritas somehow.
Yeah,
couple margaritas in. Yeah.
I had a feeling, maybe it was the tequila, I don't know, but you put a little skin on Fairleigh Dickinson out of New Jersey. to take down Purdue and become the second team ever to a 16 seed to beat a 1 seed, and it came home for you and paid handsomely.
Yes, it did.
You started
paid for the margaritas.
Paid for the margaritas. Oh, man, what a choke job by Purdue that was for Matt Painter and his team to lose to that group. That is not good.
It's not their first time of gagging their way.
Well, there's only two 1 seeds left. Houston is in, and, of course, Alabama is on. Your brackets are probably a mess. Texas, one of the two 2 seeds that have advanced in the bracket, along with UCLA. You know, the Midwest bracket, which the Longhorns are in, pretty much has gone chalk as far as the top seeds go. The 1 seed, the 2 seed, the 3 seed, and the 5 seed will make their way to Kansas City. It's similar in the West. But the East and the South are a mess. And the East and the South are a mess with your bracket. So we will have fun with that today. Let's start with the headlines, though. Trending topics. Safe to say there's a lot to catch up on as you get up and out on this first day of spring.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services.
It will be brought to you by UBO Business Services. That's right. Start with those Longhorns. And yeah, on a cold shooting night, remember they shot the lights out. In their first round matchup back on Thursday, the Longhorns did, but didn't shoot so well on Saturday night. The Longhorns leaned on their defense and their big man Dylan Dessou to survive their second round matchup with 10th seeded Penn State in advance to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 15 years. On a night that saw Texas make just one of their 13 three-point shots, it was the former Hendrickson Hawk who stepped up in a big way, delivered his best game of his Texas career. Dessou poured in a game-high 28 points, 14 of 20 from the floor to propel the Longhorns to a 71-66 win. Texas also came up big on defense, held Penn State, one of the top three-point shooting teams in the country, to 8 of 28 from 3 on their night, also 12 points below their season scoring average. Longhorns are Sweet 16 bound for the first time since the 07-08 season. Texas head coach Rodney Terry was an assistant on that coach under Rick Barnes. 15 years later, he's taking the horns to the second weekend as the man in charge.
It's a really good Penn State team, man. I'm telling you, this group here, I didn't sleep one night because these guys could really shoot the basketball, and they were the best passing team I've seen all year. And Pickett, he's a pro. He's a good player. We did a great job on him by committee. And, man, I'm so proud of these guys right now. We're back in the Sweet 16, Craig.
Yeah, they are. There he was on Saturday night. Texas will head back to Kansas City on the same floor they won the Big 12 championship a week ago. They'll face third-seeded Xavier 8:45 Friday night. It's the fourth and final game of Sweet 16, the 2 days of it. It'll be the late game there, the Midwest region. Houston, the number 1 seed in that region, will face 5th-seeded Miami in the other regional semi in the early game. Winners will, of course, meet in the Elite Eight on Sunday. Kansas State, by the way, the only other Big 12 team to advance to the second weekend of the Sweet 16. 3rd-seeded Wildcats took down Kentucky yesterday in a good one. Top-seeded Kansas, along with Baylor, TCU, Iowa State, and West Virginia, all eliminated out of the Big 12. TCU had a nail-biter with Gonzaga last night, but they fell short. Texas Longhorn women's basketball team overwhelmed 13-seeded East Carolina, 79-40 in the first round of the women's tournament Saturday night at Moody Center. 4th-seeded Texas now hosting 5th-seed Louisville tonight, 6 o'clock at the Mood. They're also looking to advance to the Sweet 16. That game tips at 6 tonight. You can hear it over on 105.3 The Bat. Texas baseball team finished off a 3-game sweep of New Orleans over the weekend. They did it yesterday. They extended their win streak to 10 games with a 9-3 win at the Dish. David Pierce's team now 14-7. Their 10 straight wins have all come during this 14-game homestand on which they've outscored their opponents 92-30. Home cooking extends into tomorrow night when they host Incarnate Word and then open Big 12 play this weekend hosting Texas Tech. Texas softball team went 4-1 at a tournament in Florida over the weekend. Also busy weekend in the NFL. Two teams in the great state agreed to a trade yesterday. Houston Texans sending wide receiver Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys for a 2023 fifth-round draft pick, pick number 161, also a 2024 sixth-round selection. Houston's going to pay $6 million of Cook's $18 million salary this year. Dallas will pay the remaining $12. It's the second trade for a quality veteran the Cowboys have pulled off. Of course, they acquired the cornerback Stephon Gilmore from Indy last week as well. Texans also announced yesterday that they have agreed to a new contract with their left tackle Laremy Tunsil. It's going to make him the highest paid tackle in the league. Also yesterday, the Lions agreed to terms with Eagles safety T.J. Gardner-Johnson. Carolina inked wide receiver Adam Thielen. In soccer, rough night for Austin FC Saturday night in Houston. The Oaks lost to the Dynamo 2-0. They fall to 2-2 on the young season. Baseball Team USA is going to have a chance to defend its title as world champions. That's after USA clinched a spot in the World Baseball Classic Championship game last night in Miami, a decisive 14-2 semifinal win over Cuba. USA will now await the winner of today's semifinal between Japan and Mexico. Tough break for the Houston Astros and Jose Altuve, their second baseman. Altuve suffered a fractured right thumb when he was hit by a pitch in that WBC game between Venezuela and the U.S. on Saturday night. Astros say they'll reevaluate the All-Star, but he's expected to miss a month, maybe longer.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Boy, that is a tough blow for the Astros without Tuve in his thumb, because you just don't know. I mean, that was at bat.
Was it what a game that, that was bat, too? Man. What a game that was too. I mean, Saturday was just awesome watching the games all day in March Madness, and then Trey Turner's big grand slam in the eighth inning to put the USA past Venezuela. But yeah, for an Astros fan, that was tough to see Altuve go down. It's the second significant injury of the WBC. Of course, Edwin Diaz, the great closer of the Mets, out for the year with that patella tendon rupture that he suffered. I mean, but you know, the players love it. The players want to play in this event. They want to play for their country. You know, they want to be able to say they're the best team in the world, best country in the world for baseball.
Yeah, when you're defending champs, too.
Yeah, the USA will have a chance. So that's been a lot of fun. The tournament's been a lot of fun with the upsets and the Longhorns into the Sweet 16. Also should mention, Jordan Spieth had a look at the PGA event at Tampa yesterday. Bogey on 16, went in the water, and then he missed about a five-foot birdie putt on 17 that would have got him back into the lead. Taylor Moore, a young guy, got a victory there on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I would say
Tour.
He comes into this week hot.
Yeah.
He's playing well.
There were three guys tied at 10 under, and all of a sudden Jordan hits it in the water and somehow made bogey after going in the water, and should have made, or looked like he was going to make birdie on 17. Tough finish on the PGA Tour. But, yeah, the top 64 players in the world in Austin beginning Wednesday. Scottie Scheffler, the defending champion and the world number one, will tee off on Wednesday in pool play. So a lot to do this week, a lot to look back to, and I mentioned NASCAR is coming as well. Joey Logano won the race in Atlanta. Sergio Perez won the F1 race. It was a great sports weekend, to say the least.
Is that the start of the F1 season?
No, it's
race two.
Yeah, and Checo, okay. The Mexican driver, got the win over the weekend. So, yeah, there's a lot, man. A lot on the plate, and the Longhorns would be the lead story, obviously, with Rodney Terry and the Horns. Pulling out a big victory, and I know there's been a lot of conversation. You mentioned it on Friday. Why not just make him the head coach and make it official? I mean, I think...
it doesn't matter now. Just go ahead and keep playing.
Well, you keep playing, but it's going to be hard to not make him the head coach whenever it's over now. I mean, it'll be a hard argument to make that he's not the right guy for this job right now. He's done an incredible job. I thought what they did on Saturday night in a... You know, you have a cold shooting night. You remember in their first round win... Serge Ibaria Rice couldn't miss. I mean, he made all of his three-pointers. Marcus Carr they had 13 for 23 from three-ball land on that same floor in Des Moines. And then you come out, and they were getting good looks again. They just weren't making the shots this time around.
Yeah, it looked like Rice was looking and thinking too much, but Marcus Carr was still playing, still hitting shots. It wasn't all three-point shots with him. He was getting in the paint.
Yeah, they were. Well, look, we talked about it going into it. We were able to preview the Penn State game on Friday. They're not a great defensive team. Texas was going to be able to get good looks.
Yes.
The question, as you'd heard from Rodney Terry in the headlines, is could they stop Jalen Pickett and this Penn State team that had been playing really good basketball in the last month and a half? And Jalen Pickett is one of those, we told you what happened. He's going to post up your bigs or your guards. He's going to take you down into the lane.
And then he's going to miss some bunnies underneath there.
Yeah.
But they spent an awful lot of time with him dribbling the ball instead.
That's their offense.
Yeah, I know, but they had a couple other guys that could have handled the ball, and I thought number 11 and number 2 just didn't see it enough. I thought they spent so much time trying to get him posted, and then, you know, the NBA guys, when they get you down in there, they're going to make those shots. He missed a couple bunnies that just slid off the side of the rim, and Texas out-rebounded them and played really, really well. When he missed his shots, the Horns were there to get the ball.
Well, we've told you this whole stretch here, when they hold teams below 72 points, they've won every game this year. And that was going to be the number, because this is a Penn State team that can score it. And they had an 8 for 28 night from three, and I thought that helped Texas. They defended the three ball very well. The kid Funk, who was so hot against the Aggies, kind of like Serge Ibaria Rice, wasn't as hot this time around and missed some open looks. But in the end, it was Dylan Dessou over and over again. And this is where I'll give Rodney Terry a lot of credit. When the three balls weren't going, they just continued to get the ball to the guy no one could stop. I mean, Dylan Dessou, they had no answer for him in the post. They have weak interior defense, and Texas continued to attack that. They didn't panic, and there was a stretch. And this will be the kind of litmus test for Rodney Terry. How about when Texas is up 7 points late in the game, Penn State goes on a 10-0 run. And so all of a sudden your 7-point lead is a 3-point deficit, and you're down 3 points. Rodney Terry called a timeout, calmed everything down, and the rest of the way, they deliver down to Dessou over and over again.
Yeah, I think Coach Terry does a great job when he feels that need to call those timeouts.
Well, that was a great moment there. I mean, that was the moment because, I mean, it felt like Texas was in control of the game the whole time for 35 minutes, and then Penn State went on a run. I mean, they went 10-0, and it wasn't like the Longhorns this year have gone into some scoring droughts, but in that moment, Texas missed some bunnies. Timmy Allen missed a short one. Serge Jabari Rice looked indecisive on a cut to the basket, and, you know, Penn State was hitting on the other end, so all of a sudden it's a 10-0 run for Penn State, and I thought at that point, man, it was a clinic for the Longhorns. Penn State took a 3-point lead after that 10-0 run at the 4:48 mark of the ball game, and Texas didn't miss a shot the rest of the game. If you're looking at the box score, they made their next 6 shots. They scored on their next 7 possessions, and a lot of that was Dylan Dessou down low knocking down buckets. And I give Rodney Terry a lot of credit. He called timeout, calmed things down, and they won the last 5 minutes decisively.
Yeah, Dylan Dessou had a really nice fadeaway from the corner, but on the side of the basket where he fell away and had a nice shot. He was just on cue. I mean, he did everything. He played defense. He rebounded.
Yep,
that was a fantastic game. They were all scrappy. They were guys all over the place. And Texas won the battle of attrition underneath the boards for sure. I mean, they got all the loose balls. They dove all over the place to get loose balls. I mean, this is a team that once again relies on its defense in big times. And that was a defensive struggle right there. They just got after them defensively.
They did, and 66 points, which is. You know, they average about 74 points a game, or 75 points a game. Penn State has held them way below their average. 71-66 final. Dessou with 28 on 14 of 20 shooting, as we mentioned, and made their final 7 baskets after that timeout.
Wow.
How many times, you know, wherever the coach has been, have we seen the Longhorns lose that last 5 minutes in a clutch moment and not finish a game?
Well, they used to not finish at the free throw line, too, and they were just good all over.
When foul clutch shots were 8-for-10?
Yeah, they were clutch.
8-for-10. Serge Jabari Rice hit a couple. Marcus Carr hit a couple when you had to. And that's what we have said going into this tournament and really down the stretch. There's a lot of elements of this team you like.
I think Marcus did a fantastic job on Saturday. I thought he was at his best.
Yeah, Marcus Carr finished with 10 points and only one turnover in 39 minutes, kind of ran the show. And look, the job they did defensively on Jalen Pickett, I mean, you may not like their offense, but that's what they do at Penn State. They take that dude's big butt, and he boxes you up and comes into the lane, and he's kind of like a point guard who doesn't – that's how he attacks, and then he kicks out when you have to double and kicks out to shooters. It's what they did to the Aggies over and over again on Friday night or Thursday night. And I thought Timmy Allen did a really good job defensively on him, put a bigger body on the guard. As you just heard Rodney say, it was kind of by committee. He took his turns. Marcus Carr took some turns. Jabari Rice was on him. Tyrese Hunter. Everybody took their turn. And I thought in the end, you know, Penn State was going to make some, but they missed 20. They missed 20 three-point attempts. And as you said, Pickett missed some short ones. And I thought the Texas defense affected him in those moments. But you're right. That wasn't their best offensive night, but this one was one with grit.
Dessou. Lots of grit in that game.
And I thought good coaching. Just saying, you know what? Run with a hot hand. Don't mess around with this thing. Just keep feeding Dylan Dessou. They're not going to stop him. He's feeling it, and he carried Texas to the victory for sure. And then, of course, when the Longhorns win, and for the first time in 15 years, they're into the Sweet 16, social media lit up. Kevin Durant had a tweet that said, "See y'all in the Sweet 16. Game ball goes to Dylan Dessou." Looked like a young LaMarcus Aldridge out there.
He did with that little turnaround jumper, that backup little jumper he had.
LaMarcus Aldridge then had a tweet on Twitter that said, "Big time win, fellas. Dylan Dessou, way to carry us." Royal Ivy had a nice tweet. T.J. Ford was all over it, and so the Longhorn fan base is fired up. And Rodney Terry taking the Longhorns to the Sweet 16 in you know, friendly environment. They just won the Big 12 tournament.
Yep.
On that same floor in that same arena in Kansas City. So they just cut those nets down, and they'll be there along with Xavier, which we'll get to know a lot this week ahead of the Friday night game, Houston, and the Miami Hurricanes. Miami Hurricanes beat Indiana last night.
That'll be a pretty good game right there.
It will. It will. The Cougars, the Longhorns, the Hurricanes, and the Musketeers. Can we hear an interesting quote? Because I know the big debate now is, not debate, the conversation will center around, you know, is Rodney Terry the head coach of this team? Is this enough for him to earn the position full-time and long-term? Here was Vic Schaefer. I thought this was kind of interesting. Vic Schaefer, the Texas women's coach, after they just throttled East Carolina late on Saturday night.
With some great big woman play down underneath.
They held East Carolina to 40 points.
And they out-rebounded. They killed them on the boards.
There were 3 quarters where they didn't score double digits. 3 of the 4 quarters. I mean, just overwhelming defense. They're going to play Louisville tonight. But he had an interesting thought. He was asked about, because, of course, by the time the Longhorn women won, the men had won. and it was known that they were moving on to the Sweet 16 as well. And here was Vic Schaefer with some insights coach to coach behind the scenes with the job that Rodney Terry has done here in 2023.
I'm really happy for Rodney and his staff and that team. Boy, they're playing at a high level. Those guys, they're really, and they're nice kids too. I'm going to tell you, all those guys, y'all, when you pass them in the hallway, they always say, "Hi, coach. How you doing?" They're approachable. They're just good kids, and I'm so happy for him, his staff. I know how hard they're working, and let me tell y'all what he's been able to do in holding that group together and seeing those guys playing as hard as they're playing for that group, for that staff and him. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that. I've been around a long time, seen a lot of things happen. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything like that. And it's really, they're to be commended. And they're coached. Those kids ain't just out there playing, y'all. They're being coached. They're doing stuff that you do within a system and a way of life. And I'm really happy for those guys. So, yeah, it's kind of what you sign up for here at Texas. So,
all right, there you go. Rodney Terry and Vic Schaefer. Texas women can also get to the Sweet 16, which would be quite an accomplishment for both programs to be there. And the Longhorn men already there. Women can get there tonight, 6 o'clock, against Louisville. What else did you take away from the madness of the weekend, Buck? The bracket, the games, the Sweet 16.
Sorry, Shaka.
Yeah, that was, I don't want to say that was typical of a Shaka Smart team, but that was kind of like PTSD. Michigan State beat them yesterday as a 7-2 matchup. I know Marquette was one of your Final Four teams.
Yep.
Michigan State jumped out 10-0, or like with a 10-point lead early. Well, if you'd flipped it on a little late, Michigan State was already up double digits.
That happened in a hurry.
Marquette clawed back and actually had a lead, but then Tom Izzo's team dominated the last 5 minutes. They finished the game on a 15-3 spurt.
Like a typical Michigan State late in the year.
I mean, if you say it going into it, Marquette was favored, but you want Shaka Smart in the tournament game or you want tournament Tom Izzo? I'll take Tom Izzo, and obviously that's the way that played out. Marquette has done, obviously Purdue and Kansas. Feel bad for the Kansas Jayhawks. They went without Bill Self. Bill Self didn't coach in the weekend. He is obviously one of the best basketball coaches out there, but how much did that affect them, we'll never know. They lose in a heartbreaker to Arkansas. Give Arkansas credit with Eric Musselman. They're back into the Sweet 16. And, in a one-point game, if you were watching that last 5 minutes, there was a point of the game where DeJuan Harris, the point guard for Kansas, got a 10-second call, 8-second call. He didn't get the ball across midcourt. He wasn't even being pressured. He was just kind of lollygagging up the floor, and they get a 10-second call, or 8-second call now, and it was obvious. He just didn't hustle up across the line, lost his way a little bit. That became a crucial point of the game because you gave Arkansas a second possession, and it ends up a one-point ball game. Those are the kind of things that can't happen in the biggest of moments in a big game like that. So Kansas is out. Purdue is out. Also, the two line includes
Kentucky's gone, are they not?
Arizona's
gone.
Arizona got upset in mm-hmm. day one by Princeton.
What did you think about Musselman?
Taking his shirt off?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not the biggest fan of that, but at the same time, he did that when he was at Nevada. So it's kind of become kind of his.
That's one of his things.
That's what he does.
Yeah, he gets overexcited.
He gets
overheated.
It's like he won the national championship.
Yeah, he's calling the hogs, and he decided to take his shirt off to do it. But that's what back-to-back years to the Sweet 16 for Musselman, who by the way has been a name that you've heard surrounding the Texas job, and all the names. John Calipari's team is out. They got beat yesterday by K-State in a really good game. I am surprised that only two Big 12 teams made it. I thought more would. I thought more of these Big 12 schools would be in the Sweet 16. Only Texas and K-State have survived and advanced. TCU gave a hell of an effort last night. They almost had Gonzaga, but just too much Drew Timmy. I mean, Drew Timmy showed why he's maybe the best player in this tournament, scored 28 points, and hit some big threes last night, which we're not used to Drew Timmy hitting outside shots. He did. TCU had a look at it and couldn't finish. Baylor, we talked about Baylor going into the tournament. Their defense is going to get them beat. There were triple digits, 100-plus in the defensive percentage, and Creighton just too much. And think about this year for Texas. They're into the Sweet 16. Remember, they beat Creighton and Gonzaga back in the non-conference. They beat both of those teams this year. They own wins over Gonzaga and Creighton, who are here. That was before the whole Chris Beard mess in December. But this team has accomplished a lot, and they still have a lot they can't accomplish. Because, as we say, if Dylan Dessou keeps playing like that, look out. Because we know their guards are veteran. We know they make free throws. They can shoot it. Rodney Terry's doing a great job of pushing the right buttons. And what they didn't have most of the year was an interior presence that you could rely upon. Because we know Timmy Allen, when he gets up against the bigs, sometimes struggles. And he was the interior offensive weapon. Well, that's become Dylan Dessou. And if he's going to play like that, ceiling high for Texas, obviously.
Well, yeah. If you
this
can
doesn't
get,
have to end here.
If you can get, I mean, if you can get Timmy Allen to play the defense that he played also, that's a big, when you get that mid-level and you're guarding that 6'4" guy, 6'5" guy, he can get in there and battle with that. I mean, because his quickness keeps him right there.
I thought he did a great job. And
yeah, and he did. He was rebounding like maniac again, too. That's back-to-back games for him getting after those boards. He knows. He has to do all these little things right now. He doesn't have to be the scorer.
Well, a lot of these guys, when we talk about a veteran team, 22, 23 years old, they know.
They know the hot hand for sure.
Well, they do, and they know if they lose, it's over. I mean, their college career for a lot of them is done. And so, you know, check your ego at the door, and let's go ahead and get the – if Dylan Dessou's making all the shots, keep giving it to Dylan Dessou. If I'm, it's not my night. You know, on Thursday night, it was Serge Jabari Rice.
Just I didn't notice him forcing a lot of things. I noticed them just getting the guy, whoever was hot, they were going to get the ball to.
Well, coach team, experienced team that is on and will live to play another day. And as we said in the headlines, it'll be the final game of the Sweet 16 on Friday night. So be ready, 8:45, Friday night tip time in Kansas City. The Longhorns and the Musketeers of Xavier will start to preview those games, obviously, and take your thoughts on your bracket, on the Longhorns, on Rodney Terry and this team, and the rest of the weekend. Good, bad, and ugly. We're getting cranked up. First day of spring here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Welcome to spring. That's right. Spring break is over. We sprung forward last weekend. Well, now it's officially spring. Winter is over. And hopefully starts to feel like, what did you say, it's going to be 80 degrees this week? That's
a good thing
after the cold weekend we just had.
By Wednesday, it's going to be in the 80s.
Coldest spring equinox in four decades, they say. But Longhorns on their way to the Sweet 16, and what a gritty performance. As we said, they controlled the game for the most of the, even though it was a poor shooting night for the Longhorns, to say the least. From the outside, they were down 3 points with 4:48 to go, and Texas really locked it in. As we said, they didn't miss a shot. I mean, that's impressive. They went, they didn't miss a bucket or a free throw the rest of the way and closed out Penn State 71-66. Really awesome performance by Dylan Dessou. And if you go to those shots from 4:48 on, let's go to the play-by-play. It was Dylan Dessou with a jumper, Dylan Dessou with a layup, Dylan Dessou with a jump hook. I mean, it was just all of Dylan Dessou. Then they made free throws. Marcus Carr had a layup in there. And the defense, I thought, locked it up as well. Played pretty darn well down the stretch. So that's how these tournament games go, Buck. The last 5 minutes are going to determine the outcome most of the time. There aren't going to be a lot of blowouts. You're going to have to execute and go to your strengths in the biggest of moments. And I thought Rodney Terry and the Longhorns did just that.
But it shows you a lot when the ball is loose on the ground in a team full of seniors, you know. I mean, they know how to get the ball. They know how to position their bodies even for loose balls. I thought they did such a great job. Those 50-50s ended up being like 80-20s for the Longhorns over the last couple games, not just this game.
Yeah.
Those loose balls mean an awful lot. And they got their hands all over the place. And they're getting those balls. They're getting those are big possessions that they get.
They are.
And the rebounds are a huge possession. I thought Timmy Allen did a good job with his, you know, with his body and positioned himself to get a lot of rebounds in that game. So did Dylan Dessou and Christian Bishop when he came into the game.
Yeah, Timmy had 12 rebounds on the night from his guard position.
I get worried when Christian comes in because of Dessou having so much offense going on that I think when Christian gets it, he starts thinking, I need to get a little bit of offense going in here deep too. Yeah. Ty, I'm like, you don't have to. You really don't have to. Everything's good. Everybody's good right now.
Know your role.
Right now, it's like know your role.
Well, it's pretty
right.
clear. Even when Christian Bishop would come in, that would mean Dylan Dessou would leave the floor. They were going to try to attack inside. And they felt like their best, especially on a night when the outside shot not falling, they have no interior defense. And that's why the Longhorns outscored Penn State 40-24 in the paint in that game. The game was pretty even. I mean, Texas out-rebounded Penn State 37-33. A lot of the stats were even.
Those second shots they got.
Well, the offensive boards, But it was really just Dylan Dessous in the biggest moments, just making shot after shot and not going away from it, not even messing around. If they're not going to double, because you could tell that their plan was to not double off of their shooters and not let Texas get open looks from the outside, so they took advantage of Dylan Dessous, and he was tremendous, just really, really tremendous for the Longhorns in that game. So they're on to the Sweet 16. We'll talk more about it, talk about your brackets. I will say, Buck, I'm in 24th place of our bracket challenge, but I'm only 4 points out of first place. I'm having a pretty good run here. I've got...
Same.
Yeah, that's where you are?
Exactly.
You and I are the same? But yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're not first, you're last. I'm only 48 is the leader. I'm at 44 points. I do have... The bracket I'm screwed the most in is the East, because I had Duke and Marquette meeting in the Sweet 16 here. No, I had Duke and Marquette in the Elite Eight. So I don't have either of those, and that's the one Final Four. But I have the rest of my Final Four. I have Alabama, I have Houston and Gonzaga, and all three of those teams can still make it. Now, that means I have Houston beating Texas in the Elite Eight coming up on Sunday.
Ooh.
I wouldn't root for that, but that would be a hell of a game. I still think that would be big picture. I mean, that you can start to, you know, the we're down to 16 from 64 where we began back on Thursday. Bama looks the real deal. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Their length is tremendous. Their athleticism just jumps off the screen, and now they're in an advantage position where they're going to get who do they get in the Sweet 16 here? They're going to get Creighton in an interesting matchup here. Creighton Blue Jays.
They get San Diego State.
They get San Diego State first, then
Creighton
possibly Creighton.
Princeton.
Yeah, I'm looking into the Elite Eight round. San Diego State, man, they're a team too, and I know you like them, Ty, going into your bracket. You had them in the Final Four, did you not?
No, I switched it with Alabama.
Okay, well, that's good because San Diego State has a bunch of veteran guys. I mean, they're all 22, 23-year-old dudes, and they brought in a couple transfers. They're a lot like Texas in there.
They play some defense.
And they play D. I don't know, it's just, you know, you can't coach experience. You can't coach been there, done that. And that's what you see from Texas in a lot of ways with all these older guys that when the pressure mounts, they just all calm down. And
yeah, I mean, I see that in the upsets, all the older players that are with these other teams.
Yeah. Well, you've been there.
Yeah.
As we said, going into this tournament, Texas has three guards who were point guards on teams that made a run last year on different teams. So, and then you add Dylan Dessous to the mix, and he becomes, well, the confidence that young guy's playing with is really, it jumps off the page because you didn't see it for most of the year. He was there. He was working hard, but you just didn't see that offensive game.
Well, I thought he was thought of more as a defender and a rebounder.
Yeah, just a work guy, glue. You know, they're big body, and he and Christian Bishop kind of tag team that post position. Well, now he's become an absolute offensive threat, and this isn't just one game. I mean, he was the most outstanding player at the Big 12 tournament. He had a 24-point game in Waco.
Yeah, he's on a second-half roll.
Yeah, he's found his offensive rhythm. He's found his spots on the floor where he likes to shoot, and his teammates now know, hey, if we get to Dylan in this spot, he's going to make that shot. Let's keep getting it to him. And you know, when you're on tape and coaches are watching you saying, man, we cannot let these guards get loose. They got three really good guards. We've got to be able to handle them. Well, they're going to leave Dylan Dessous in single matchup situations, and he's shown the ability to win those.
And that's good when you have those older guards because their entry passes into him have been fantastic.
Yeah. And then you add Timmy Allen to the mix, who's at 6'6", almost like another guard with his ability to handle and deliver passes. And he had, five or six assists in the win on Thursday night?
Some of the young guys aren't playing as often as they have been, which is they've got their guys right now.
Kind of shrink it down.
Yeah.
Shrink it down and go with the guys that
Absolutely.
Have been there many, many times. So a lot of fun in basketball. We'll take your thoughts on your brackets, your big upsets, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And just have to say Purdue. Can I just say Matt Painter? You can't lose to Fairleigh Dickinson, Purdue. You got a dude 7-4. You got a dude 7-4. They played. I don't know that I've seen a team play a worse game than Matt Painter's team did against
Since
Fairleigh.
The last time they lost to somebody. They've been losing for years.
Can Edie still be National Player of the Year?
Well, now it's a regular season award, Ty.
Brackets
doesn't matter. So the votes are already in. Well, I mean, you got to get the guy the ball. But boy, Fairleigh Dickinson plays in this little gym, Cracker Jack Gym in New Jersey. You can't be the one seed out of the East, the rugged, tugged. I mean, you won the Big Ten by three games.
Oh, yeah.
The Big Ten, you were the best team by a lot. You won the Big Ten tournament. I mean, you can't lose that game.
Or you expect the guy 7-4 to be a little bit slower, but the rest of the team looks slow also.
It's also showed itself that the Big 12 or Big Ten wasn't really as good as people might have thought going into the tournament.
Fair enough. And maybe the Big 12. But, you know, in the end, you know, they're all shapes and sizes here in this Sweet 16 now. teams that have made it and teams that are out. Big 12 only got two of the seven through to the second weekend in K-State and Texas. And by the way, how about Marquise Noel yesterday putting on...
Oh, boy.
We know he grew up playing in the streets of New York City, Rucker Park and those kind of places. He brought that to the big dance yesterday against Kentucky. He was unbelievable. Behind-the-back passes and pull-up threes and Marquise Noel. The nation got to see what the Big 12 knew all year about the point guard at Kansas State. He was really, really good.
Yeah, he looked like he got his second win.
He did. And, boy, they hit a couple of big threes late in that game that were the difference, and they took out Big Blue and Kentucky in a big win. But only two Big 12 teams are in. And one other note, Ty, we mentioned off the top, our man Ty, who's a professional gambler.
Pro.
He took Fairleigh Dickinson on the money line, which means it was Fairleigh Dickinson to win. No points, just the win. And you cashed in a nice ticket there, I have to assume.
Yeah, it was a $20 bet, but it was plus 2,100. So you can run the numbers on there.
But wow. you were telling me that there is a fellow that works here at our radio station.
Justin the Smash Simmons.
Justin Simmons, who he's a St. Ed's kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to St. Ed's. My man Rodney Terry went to St. Ed's, all the St. Ed's guys. But so Justin Simmons, he's on the show with Wags, is that right?
Yeah.
The Wagner Wire. And so he did an 8-leg parlay, Buck, on all the games yesterday, 8 legs. He had hit 7 in a row. All he needed was Gonzaga last night. And you're telling me that TCU backdoor covered it legendarily, Ty?
That was a generational backdoor cover.
Yeah, it was.
That was
a March Madness cover.
I didn't even have any skin in the race, and I was in my bed, and I was just thinking about it. I couldn't fall asleep last night.
Crushed.
Yes.
Well, again, if you don't gamble, Gonzaga was favored by 4.5, and they were up by 5 or 6.
Six.
And the game was over, decided TCU's not going to win the game, but they heave up a shot at the buzzer.
0.7 seconds.
Well, the guy lets the ball roll up almost to half court.
Picks it up and fires it from half.
Takes like 2 steps and fires and swish.
And so that made it 84-81. So on the scoreboard, it doesn't matter. The Zags still advance, and TCU's season is over. But my man Justin Simmons and the 8-leg parlay down. It would have won. Would have cashed in.
And 8-legger.
I felt bad for him.
That's brutal. That's almost like Purdue.
It's called gambling.
It's almost like Purdue losing to Fairleigh Dickinson. But by the way, let me say, FDU gave FAU all they could handle yesterday in that game. Florida Atlantic is into the Sweet 16. They beat
FDU. Florida Atlantic's pretty good, too.
78-70. They got that victory yesterday. I thought Creighton, man, Creighton's win over Baylor, they were really impressive. I saw Creighton live at the Moody Center when Texas beat them way back to start the season. And they've come together for Greg McDermott. That's a team that's going to be tough. Baylor just doesn't play any defense. They just do not get stops. And the point guard for Creighton, Nembhard, just shredded them yesterday, scoring and just living in the paint and setting up his teammates. He had 30 points and a couple of assists. He was outstanding in that game.
You know, I haven't seen the Cougs play a great game yet so far in this tournament, but boy, they are good enough when it comes to boards and just – absolutely getting after it with Kelvin Sampson. They're unbelievable.
I'll say this for the Cougs. Their performance on Saturday when they were down, and it was Auburn was up 10 at the half. Auburn was up 41-31, and you're thinking, oh, geez. This Marcus Sasser injury where he's not 100%. He was out there, but he said he was in pain. That was a medal check for Houston.
Certainly was.
And they what they did is what they do. They turned on the defense. They held Auburn. After allowing Auburn to score 41 in the first half.
And they're making it look, and Auburn made it look easy.
Yeah. Well, Kelvin Sampson made some adjustments, and they held Auburn to 23 in the second half after a 41-point first, and they outscored them 50-23 and won that game going away. I thought that was really impressive for Houston. You're right, they haven't played a 40-minute game, but that's why they're the number one seed and why Texas is going to have a hard time if they get to them, because they are really athletic. They're really big. You know, they're really. If Marcus Sasser, with another week before they have to play again on Friday, can get even more healthy with that groin injury. They are every bit a one seed, and they are through. And I thought that second half gut check was pretty impressive.
Well,
for
it surprised me that Sasser still the way he plays, even with that with that hammer. I mean, you're talking about a guy who goes out and plays some pretty good defense too. That's surprised me. I thought he would lay off a little bit, but he's not.
You don't play for Kelvin Sampson if you're not going to play defense and be a physical player. Speaking of physical, how about Duke and Tennessee? Tennessee, man. They just beat the daylights out of Duke. I mean,
it felt like it was close for a while. Well, not 10 minutes.
I'm not talking about like on the scoreboard. I'm talking about with elbows. I mean, it's almost like Duke needed a cut man in the corner. I mean, Rick Barnes' game plan was be physical with Duke, and they were. The refs allowed it, and I thought that was pretty impressive. So Rick Barnes' team into the Sweet 16 as well. Rodney Terry's team into the Sweet 16 with the Longhorns, and Shaka Smart's Marquette team out, beaten yesterday by tournament Tom Izzo and Michigan State. So having a look at your brackets, we'll get to this big trade in the NFL coming up. Texans have sent Brandon Cooks to the Cowboys. What does it mean? We'll get some thoughts on that coming up. And the NFL stories of the weekend, Team USA in baseball with a chance to be the world champions once again. Lot to do. It's B&E on a busy Monday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
What a Monday. Good, bad, and ugly from the weekend that was. Good for Team USA. They're going to play for the championship of the World Baseball Classic. Bad for the Astros. Jose Altuve took a pitch off of his thumb, and he's got a fractured thumb. He's out probably a month, maybe longer, for the Houston Astros when the season begins. He was playing for Team Venezuela, of course, and what a game that was Saturday night. It wasn't a contest last night. The USA hammered Cuba 14-2, and it was never close. But that Venezuela game looked like the Venezuelans were going to win that ball game. And Trey Turner, big grand slam in the eighth inning to flip the game, and USA won that ball game. Also, Buck, the tournament. How about Tom Izzo? Now 16 games in the NCAA tournament as the lower-seeded team that he's won. That passes Jim Boeheim for the most since seeding began in 1979. He is a great underdog in the tournament. Took
another
Shaka
Hall of
Famer. Smart and Marquette. No doubt about that. No doubt about that.
January, February, Izzo.
Yeah, that's what matters. I mean, March matters. March matters. You define a great season by this time of year, and
yep.
You forget what happened in January. You really do. If you qualify for the tournament and then make a run, you know, that's what Tom Izzo has done over and over again in his Hall of Fame career. On the women's side, if you got a bracket, Stanford, the one seed, they went down last night. They got beat. See you later. Taken down. I think Alabama beat them. In the eighth seed, so that was a big upset on the women's side. What do we make of Brandon Cooks of the Dallas Cowboys, Buck? Brandon,
I like it. I like it for him. That's the vertical guy that I was looking for that the Cowboys get. I mean, what is he, 29?
29. He ties Eric Dickerson, not in rushing yards, but he and Eric Dickerson now most times traded
I guess.
In the NFL, four times. Brandon Cooks has been traded four times now. He was a first-round pick of the Saints. They sent him to the Patriots. He's been traded now four times. He's only 29. And, I like it for the Cowboys. It's not DeAndre Hopkins. It's not Odell Beckham Jr., but it's a trade the Cowboys nearly made before the trade deadline last year. Right before the trade deadline, the two teams were to the wire, and it was really more about salary than anything else.
This really helps CeeDee Lamb out a lot, I believe, with a guy who can go vertical like this guy.
He's still a good player.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not a great player, but he's a good player. And, boy, if the Cowboys—
He makes the catches. He's okay.
No, he's a quality receiver. And he does bring a speed element. He knows how to find the open spots and zones. And he's four times a 1,000-yard receiver. But in this team, boy, if you want to be really optimistic, if you're a Cowboys fan, what if Michael Gallup emerges and gets
yes.
really healthy? Well, now he could actually be your third guy and let CeeDee Lamb work in the slot a little bit. I mean, that's optimistic. But I like it. It's— with Stephon Gilmore and this move, that puts the Cowboys in a position in the draft to, they've kind of filled a lot of their needs through, you know, free agency and trades, and they can take best player available, which, you know, could be Bijan Robinson, you know, could be a tight end, I don't know.
Could be an offensive lineman, another offensive lineman.
Absolutely. Best player that's still on the board at 26 is what you're kind of looking at, because they filled some needs here through the free agent period, re-signing their own guys and making these two trades. Ty, what do you say about Brandon Cooks? You excited?
Yeah, for the value and the salary we got him at with the draft compensation, I like it. Another guy, I'd take him over Odell, maybe not DeAndre Hopkins, but I like the move for sure.
All right. Cowboys fans, weigh in. DeAndre Hopkins not coming, and he's due to make like $30 million this year. That wasn't going to work. Cowboys are picking up $12 million of Brandon Cook's salary. Texans will pay six of it.
Yeah, Texans still got to pay some of it, too.
About six. And that was the number they couldn't work out at the trade deadline. Apparently the Texans wanted the Cowboys to pick up all of it. Now, there are those who will say, well, if you had just kept Amari Cooper, you wouldn't be trading for Brandon Cooks right now because the salaries kind of wash out. But either way, that's been an admitted mistake by the Cowboys that Amari Cooper, they shouldn't have traded him. But here they are. Brandon Cooks is in Houston along with Stephon Gilmore. Your thoughts on a good, bad, and ugly Monday? Glad you're with us as we crank this thing up. Three more hours to go. A lot of Texas basketball talk, bracket talk, the weekend that was, and the week to come. It's B&E on the Horn.